by Niamh Arthur, a registered dietitian with Temple Street Children's Hospital, to highlight some of the events taking place around World Obesity Day, which was on the 7th of March, and she joins me on the line now. Hello, Niamh.
Good morning, Claire, and thank you very, very much for this opportunity to chat with you about a much wider, challenging contemporary health issue worldwide, but also a really great public health concern much closer to home here in Ireland, which is child and adolescent obesity.
And I think it's a really interesting one. It's almost a taboo because we talk so much about body positivity and not allowing young people to have body hang-ups, and yet it's a kind of a fine line you tread between that and health and helping people out in certain situations.
Yeah, and we would go definitely from the health perspective and the health side of things. With obesity, if I could just explain to any of the listeners, it's caused when there's too much fat tissue stored in the body. But the issue is the knock-on effects that that can have, and especially on children and young people. Often they can also have difficulties with physical and mental health. And this can include high blood pressure, painful joints, breathing difficulties, anxiety, and also the early development of other diseases. And we know that children and adolescents with obesity are at greater risk of becoming adults with obesity, and just has not got impacts for the quality of life for that young person, and then as they grow older as well.
And where are we in Ireland at the moment when it comes to childhood and adolescent obesity?
So at the moment, Ireland ranks 10th in the EU for overweight and obesity in children aged 6 to 9 years. And I suppose, you know, if you look back over generations and just a little more than one generation, obesity among children in Ireland has increased tenfold. According to the most recent Childhood Obesity Surveillance Initiative data, which is the COSI data, we see that 1 in 5 children in primary schools are now living with overweight or obesity. And according to the Growing Up in Ireland data, that about 6% of 13-year-olds in Ireland have obesity. So at the moment, obesity is affecting around 80,000 children in Ireland. And we know that the recommendations for treatment of childhood obesity is a multidisciplinary approach, and very much working with the whole family. But unfortunately in Ireland, the only treatment at the moment is the Way to Go service in Temple Street, which is led by the remarkable Dr. Grace O'Malley. And really in the community, very few children have access to care. And this is another really concerning issue, because the COSI data also revealed that those children in DESH schools or from perhaps more disadvantaged backgrounds, there's have higher rates of overweight and obesity.
So what's going on here, Niamh? Because I think people who are listening who aren't sensitive or who haven't any experience of it themselves would be like, oh, for God's sake, you know, eat less, move more. Is it more complex than that?
Absolutely, Claire. With obesity, it is a very complex. There's over 200 different determinants that can contribute and that can lead to obesity, and it's the interplay of all of these factors, and that is why it really takes a specialised approach and why we need lots of different healthcare professionals to be educated and really on board. But unfortunately at the moment there's no formal training for healthcare professionals in child and adolescent obesity, and indeed even in adult obesity as well. So we'll speak probably about this a bit later on, but this was one of the Sláintecare Integration Fund projects has worked on increasing access to education for healthcare professionals in child and adolescent obesity in Ireland.
Because that is one of the most shocking statistics I heard recently about people who are obese going for health care and being fobbed off because everything is being put down to their weight, and there's a big assumption that they're eating badly, that they're never exercising, and that they're not getting the diagnosis at times that they need, depending on what healthcare professional they're sitting in front of.
Yes, and this is a real issue as well, and it's driven somewhat by stigma, and unfortunately there is a lot of stigma that occurs in healthcare settings and indeed across society, which we would really hope to start to see changes and changing that public health narrative. It is not about eat less and move more. Obesity requires a really complex treatment approach, and unfortunately we just don't have enough access to the right services. But when we are treating obesity in children and adolescents, the core focus is not on the weight. It is about looking at the health, the overall health of that individual child. It is about reducing the complications that obesity has caused, and really about enhancing the quality of life for that young person.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, stay on the line there, Niamh, because I want to bring in Bernadette Keenan. Bernadette lived with weight gain and obesity since the age of 3 and experienced the bias and the stigma that Niamh alluded to most of her life, and became a mum herself and began to see the same symptoms in her daughter, Cara, which led her to seek help there also. She joins me on the line now. Hello, Bernadette.
Hi, Claire. Good morning.
Bernadette, after everything that you had been through in your life and the kind of the stigma and the way that it impacted on your self-confidence, how did you feel then when you could see Cara starting to show signs that she had similar genetics to you?
I suppose I actually noticed that much earlier than perhaps some parents would, because of the fact that I'd lived it. And I was very concerned because it's a tough road. It's very difficult to live with obesity, and nobody knows unless they live it just how demeaning it can be because of outside forces, everything you're getting from other people around you, society, media, everything, you know. And I didn't want her to live the same life. So people thought I was overreacting at the beginning, but I did ask for help pretty quickly. And the GP at the time happened to have completed a rotation with Professor Donald O'Shea in Loughlinstown. So she understood. And she basically applied for an appointment at Niamh's service, like the Way to Go management team in Temple Street. And it was so different when I got there to when I was a child, which I found so positive. It was about growing into weight, but it was more about health than the actual numbers on the scales. And that's what I found for myself as an adult as well. It was more about improving my health. And this is really what living with obesity should be about, as much improvement in health, not for the sake of aesthetics, just because that's what society approves of, but about health and functionality and quality of life, definitely.
Yeah, I think that should be the health message for everyone. But that it should be how healthy we are on the inside and how we feel, not how we look. And I think we've a lot of work to do to start to change that. But I think we are changing the conversation. What about the way you communicated with Cara herself? Because I think if there are parents who are worried about their child's weight, they're quite nervous of how to navigate it, of how to discuss it without giving them self-confidence issues.
Quite ironic, but even I was worried about it, even though I'd lived it, because it's such a fine line when you're talking to a child and you don't want to give them other issues, you know. So I spoke, I suppose, about her health rather than about her weight, you know. Now, that being said, even though she had extra weight, she could walk for Ireland. That was never an issue. She swam, she played tennis, she played football. All these kind of things were there. It's different now. She's turned 13 and we've had lockdown, and that's had such an effect on her mental health. But at the time when I was kind of talking to her to begin with, yeah, we spoke more about health than anything else. And how she had seen me at a much heavier weight, obviously, and what a difference improving my health had made to my life and to what I could do with her. And that's something she had noticed, because I hadn't been in the swimming pool for over 30 years just because of the stigma. I hadn't been on a bicycle in about the same length of time. And both of those as my health improved, I actually did with her. And that's where she could see a difference coming in. So I wanted to kind of show her that by improving my health, more things were available to me to do.
And when you spoke about Cara there and the amount of stuff she was doing and how fit she was, I think people don't realise that that can be the situation with someone that gains weight. I think, you know, people would assume that she's kind of sat in front of the telly all day, or it's all down to gaming, and that you were just handing her convenience meals night and day. I don't think people really understand that we all come in different shapes and sizes. We all have different hormonal activity, metabolisms, genetics. I don't think people really have the empathy or the understanding of that. And I don't understand why in such a modern society, why we don't talk about that more.
Absolutely, I totally agree. I'm pretty convinced that Cara's would be quite genetic, which she would inherit from me. Obviously, her dad would be deemed as being underweight. And like my brother, when we were growing up, there was a year between us. He was a year older and he ate everything. I was very, very fussy, and it wasn't like it is now where sugary foods were available all the time. It was basically birthdays, Christmas, things like that. And I never finished a meal because of the things I didn't like, whereas my brother would. And yet he was seen by the school doctor and he was seen as underweight. And obviously I was seen as the opposite, and my mum was given out to on both counts. And she specifically asked at the time, could it be a possibility of genetics that my brother took after one side of the family and I after the other? And she was told, no, couldn't possibly be that. Whereas now we know more. It's like your height being part of your genetics. Weight can be very much part of your genetics. Up to 70% can come from genetics. It's a tough thing trying to get that across to society, because they think that you're giving excuses. The other side of it is I would have been frowned upon when Cara really started gaining weight because of the fact that I'd lived with it. And it was almost like, why are you allowing this to happen to your child? You know how it feels. You know what it does. Sometimes people don't even realize they have these biases. You know, it's unintentional, it can be in part, but it's there. And these are the things we need to change to be able to offer proper help to the children to realise that they are, no matter what shape their body is, that they are the same as everybody else, they're as important as everybody else, and they're as lovable as everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible. It's not the weight that holds them back. It's the judgment. Bernadette, thank you for speaking so openly and honestly. I hope you change a few people's opinions by what you had to say. Niamh Arthurs, if I could bring you back in, registered dietitian with Temple Street Children's Hospital. Can you tell us how people can access some of the resources and recordings of events that took place around World Obesity Day if people want to find out more?
Yes, Claire, I'd love to. And if I could just pick up on one thing that Bernadette mentioned there before I do that, just to say that, to think about society, if you are a parent at the moment listening to this, or a guardian, you are concerned about your own child's health, so please speak and open up the conversation with your GP. If you are a healthcare professional listening to this, then perhaps you could check out childhoodobesity.ie and avail of the recently launched Slauncha Care Childhood Obesity Education Programme, which is completely free to healthcare professionals in Ireland. And if you are just a member of society who happens to be tuning into the show this morning, please, I would really encourage you to think about your own internal biases and judgments, and just remember that you are a role model for younger people and perhaps children in your life, and that if you are commenting on other people's weights and making judgments, that they are observing that, and that that can then have knock-on effects on how they behave and their attitudes towards individuals with overweight and obesity. And again, it's just this vicious cycle that impedes in society. And we know, about Bernadette mentioned about schools and how it's not just in the healthcare system, but there's stigma and bullying in schools as well around weight, and it's really not acceptable at all. About 11% of the young people that attend the Weight to Go service experience bullying in school, and for those reasons, it makes them not want to go to school. And then this can affect then their educational attainments and achievements, you know, and their ability to thrive in school, which again, education is another right.
To be able to live their life and achieve what they can. We'll have to leave it there, but it's been really enlightening speaking to both of you, and I thank you very much for highlighting this issue on the show today. Bernadette Keenan, a parent and advocate for changing the stigma and bias around obesity, and Niamh Arthurs, registered dietitian with Temple Street Children's Hospital. That website again is childhoodobesity.ie. Thank you both very much for coming on.
Thanks, Claire.